Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games.
Games that are more than ordinary.
I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeMars. Today, I wanted to talk about relationships. What do you think about that, Dennis? I thought I'd bring my husband and Maria's husband, Eric, who are both here, and we could talk about relationships.
I don't think so.
Well, I think it would be a really good idea. Because you see, a lot of times people think that a good relationship, the key is compatibility, which I agree, but they mistakenly think that that means being the same. And a lot of people think, for example, I'm pretty outspoken and out there a lot, and you are...
They don't just think that. That's actually a fact.
And you, Dennis, are not as out in the public pitching to investors, and you are more of a homebody, so I think that works really well. And sometimes people think because of that, that you do everything I say or you're pushed around, and that's really nothing could be further from truth. So I think it would be really good to do a podcast on relationships and more than ordinary relationships. And we've been married almost 19, 20 years. So what do you think, Dennis?
Negatory.
Well, then I guess we'll go with plan B, which was what I suggested to begin with, which is about pivoting. Pivoting, for those who aren't quite familiar with the term, it's a very techy, startup-y buzzword, but at the same time, I think it's really applicable to all areas of life. And it's kind of, as the name suggests, switching directions from the direction you're going to another direction.
And it reminded me of this quote that I read today by Darwin, where he said that the species most likely to survive is not the one that is the strongest or the one that's the most intelligent, but the one that is most responsive to change.
It's a startup buzzword, but I think it's really applicable to any part of life, whether you're looking at changing careers or you're a student, you're looking at changing your college major, or whether you are looking at changing the direction your business is going. And I think pivoting is a really hard thing for people to do because you have to look at the situation, recognize that it's not going – I would say saying it's not going right maybe isn't the right word, but it's not going in the direction that it needs to be going. And then you actually have to go and enact some kind of change to switch direction. And that can be hard for people.
Well, and we've been sort of brainwashed in this idea that pivoting is bad, that change is bad. Seth Godin, who's sort of a marketing guru, wrote about how winners do quit. We're always told, winners never quit, winners never quit. But that's not true at all, that you do have to know when to quit, that your marketing strategy might be, I'm going to dominate on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the answer. But at some point, you maybe realize that you're marketing YouTube videos for little kids, and little kids aren't on LinkedIn. So you do need to know when to quit. And I talked to you before about being on this business site that Yahoo ran, and it was all really encouraging, supportive, and no matter how stupid of an idea somebody had, no one ever said, don't do that. They would say, follow your dreams. If I came out and said, I want to knit sweaters for turtles, I think that would be a $1 billion market. I love turtles, and I love knitting. And people would say, yes, you go for it, sister. Follow your turtle knitting dreams. And somebody really needs to come out and say, that is a dumbass idea. No, no one's going to buy your stupid sweaters.
And now, thanks to you, there's going to be a lot of cold turtles out there. And I think maybe, you're talking about winners never quit, but maybe we could take that and, not to say that it's not a good quote, but, maybe winners don't quit, but winners do know when to pivot, or winners do, like you said, if something's not working, then maybe you do need to quit. You need to take a different direction. And like I said, I think we talk a lot about startup stuff, because that's kind of what we're in the middle of. But I think it's really applicable for any person at any stage of life. I look about when I switched from doing journalism and covering sports to running a startup. And to me, it is hard to pivot. And I will say that without any hesitation. It is a really hard thing to do because I think a lot of times people get so caught up in the track they're on, the path they're on, what they're doing. And it's really hard for them to step back and see either it's not working or maybe it's just not something they want to be doing. They're not happy going that way, or they feel like they've gotten everything they need to get out of it and make that change, because it's hard when you've set your whole life out to being something or working towards something and realizing maybe I don't want that anymore. And so much of a person's identity is caught up in their career or their business or, you know, when you're, if you're in college, your major. So really making that switch, I think, can be really hard for people.
Well, it's like Mark Twain said, or if he didn't, he should have, try again and then give up and do something else because there's no sense being a damn fool about it.
Did he really say that at all? You just straight up made that up off the top of your head right now.
Well, he might have said it.
It was W.C. Fields.
Dennis, do you want to talk about relationships now?
Nope.
Well, then maybe it was W.C. Fields. So I think you need to know when to pivot, when you're just being stubborn. But on the other hand, you don't want to give up too easily, and that it's finding that fine line. You know, on the flip side of the turtle sweater people is 3M, which back in the day, it was one of the case studies when I was in business school, the overhead projectors, which for you young people, that's what we had before LED projectors.
That's what I say. That just shows your age right there. But keep going. Tell them about.
So there was this thing, just call it a thing, that people at 3M came up with and said, we will get these pictures and they will show on a screen and everybody in the room will be able to see it. And they went to focus groups and people said, no one needs that. And the people at 3M said, you know what? Shut up. What do you think they do? And they went, they made it anyway, and they made a bucket of money. Unfortunately, people often take that story and say, see, there's a market for turtle sweaters. There's not. Just take my word for it.
And right now, there's not really a market for overhead projectors, which is why 3M pivoted, because they are no longer – well, they probably may still be selling overhead projectors, but that is not the bulk of their sales. They had to then find other products and other lines and other things to build their business on.
It's a good point, and it's a line I learned coincidentally in Minnesota, at the University of Minnesota, when I was getting my MBA, and I've never forgotten it. It's been over 30 years. Professor said, we must always remember, ladies and gentlemen – while Burroughs had all of its engineers at work inventing a better adding machine, Steve Wozniak was in his garage inventing the Apple computer. So Burroughs should have pivoted.
Having a website is a vital part of your business, but what happens when it goes offline, attacked by a hacker, or infected by malware? Well, don't worry. ConciergeWP.com is here to help. We monitor all the vitals, perform all the updates, and make sure your website is secure and backed up, allowing you to focus on the business at hand. Use code RELAX15, that's RELAX15, and save 15% for the first 3 months. ConciergeWP. Relax. We've got this.
Hi, this is Claudia Christian from C3 Foundation. You can find out more about us at www.c3foundation.org. And you are listening to More Than Ordinary.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, brought to you by Seven Generation Games.
I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne Maria DeMars.
And we're looking at our more than ordinary tips, how to be more than ordinary. And we've got two of them that we've kind of came across in talking today. The first one was pivoting isn't failure. And I think this is a really important thing to take into account. And it's kind of this Silicon Valley mantra, and I'm not crazy about a lot of Silicon Valley things.
But we like their money. So if you're in Silicon Valley and you want to send us money, buy our games or invest.
All right. Well, so anyways, so it's a Silicon Valley mantra of fail fast. And the reality is, I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I think a lot of people are afraid of failing and get really self-conscious and they view changing just in general as failure, you know, whether it is changing their job or changing their business idea, you know, the direction that their startup is headed or even their product altogether, because they think admitting that what they're doing isn't working is failure. But the reality is you can't actually progress if you just keep going down the same path that isn't leading anywhere.
And I think fear of failure is kind of like fear of math. I say that people don't really have math phobia. Nobody has nightmares about being chased down the hall by sharpened pencils with an algebra test behind it.
Screaming, 7, 8, 9, help!
Right. What they're really afraid of is disappointing people, of looking like a jerk, that people will think badly of them.
Or looking like an idiot. I think even less looking like a jerk, people are afraid of looking stupid.
And I was thinking about this in the context of startups because my father-in-law, Dennis's father, passed away a few years ago. And one of the few things that Dennis wanted to take back to California with us to remember him by was this sign. His dad had started a company years ago, a small business to do TV and radio repair. And he did it for a while. He didn't make money on it. He ended up closing the business and moving back in with relatives for a while. And then he went to work for RCA. And he might have at that point thought, oh, I'm a failure. Oh, my kids aren't going to think well of me. Well, when Julie came in our room and she saw that sign, she said, oh, that's really cool. Grandpa started a company. And there was no point where anyone thought, oh, my gosh, he was a failure. We thought that was really admirable that he took a leap and went out and tried to start a company. And then he didn't end up on Skid Row with a sign saying, we'll fix TVs for food. He took those skills that he had developed with that company, went to work for RCA, had a very good career, you know, house in the suburbs with the wife and four kids. And because he worked for RCA, when Dennis got a National Merit Scholarship, they paid his full ride to any university he wanted to attend. And so he went on to UCLA all the way through into the PhD program in particle physics. So my point is that those skills he developed took him a really long way. And no one ever said, oh my gosh, you're a failure. In fact, quite the opposite. People were really impressed, including me. Tip number two, two for the price of one. And if you put in MTO when you buy games this week, just because you were listening to us, we will give you three games for the price of two. So there you go. But we only have two tips. Tip number two, Maria, go.
Knowing when to quit. So maybe pivoting isn't failure, but sometimes you do need to know when to call it a day. That's also quitting, like we talked about before, isn't necessarily a failure. But at the same time, you don't want to run yourself or your business or your family or everything into the ground. Sometimes the direction you're going isn't just not working and you need to pivot, but sometimes you've run into a wall and you need to know that that's it. You need to know when to hang it up. And I think that's a really hard thing for people to do as well.
I think the key to that is to decide before you start what's going to be the point where you call it a day. With sports, people always say, and I agree with this, don't let your child quit right after a loss. You don't let them quit that day. Now, maybe 3 months later, if they still are not feeling it, fine. So you set a time for a lot of parents when their children are starting sports or a new activity, dance, whatever. They'll say, you're going to finish this season or this class. They'll sign them up for 12 weeks of something. And then at the end of it, if they don't want to do it again, they've given it the good college try. I think you can do that same thing for business. For example, when we started with Seven Generation Games, I kind of had this idea that I would put 5 years in and $100,000 of my own money. If by the end of 5 years or losing $100,000, you know, we weren't making money, we weren't making it, then I was going to say, well, this is a good idea, but I'm going to do something else. Fortunately, we're still here.
But one of the important things, too, when you talked about, you know, 5 years, $100,000, you have this mark in mind. You talked a little bit of a story about how when you went to the World Judo Championships, you had a plan.
Right. I decided that I was going to go to the world, and if I won, I was done, and if I didn't win, I was done. And I told everybody that ahead of time, so I didn't have any out. And I see too many people who don't have that fixed deadline. And so they keep going and going and going long after they should have retired. I know you said you get tired of Silicon Valley talk and all the startup buzzwords, but there is one saying that I've heard that I've found to be totally true. And that is, regardless of what you're doing, the one thing people can tell you for sure about a startup is the company you end up with is going to be different than the company you envision starting out.
You're listening to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Maria DeMars, still. And our guest here today is Eric Ortiz, founder, CEO of Everybit. Eric, would you want to talk about relationships?
No, thank you.
You're just going to have to get used to the idea of pivoting. Also, just drop this relationships thing.
Never!
So, yes. We have Eric Ortiz here, founder and CEO of Everybit, a mobile storytelling app, managing editor of Truthdig, a progressive news site, and husband to me. Eric, thanks so much for coming on the program, as if you had a choice.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
We've been talking about pivoting. What's the first time in your life that you can remember having to pivot?
When I was in high school, I played football and broke my neck. And that ended a dream that I had of being an NFL football player. So I had to decide what I wanted to do next. And I realized early on that sometimes your plans in life don't always go as planned. And you have to have a backup plan. And I didn't have a backup plan at that time because I didn't plan on breaking my neck. So I had to figure out what I was going to do. And I ended up playing baseball and walking onto the Stanford baseball team.
So, I mean, not too bad of a backup plan, even if you had to do it on the fly.
And then that ended up with you being the Major League Baseball editor for ESPN after that, too, right?
That's right. I ended up not playing baseball professionally, but covering professional baseball, which was a lot of fun, too. I did that. I worked at ESPN, and that's how I got my start in journalism.
And then speaking of journalism, so you graduated from Stanford, you were working at ESPN, and then you sort of pivoted from journalism to the startup world.
Right. I had been working as a journalist. I was at a time in my life and career where I was thinking about what's the next step. I learned of this fellowship called the Knight Fellowship at Stanford, which is a journalism fellowship. Thought this might be a good time to do that. And one day I was talking with my wife.
The lovely co-host of More Than Ordinary.
That's the one. And I had this idea for a website that did nothing but live blogs, which is live storytelling. And she thought that would be a good idea for a Knight Fellowship. And so that got the ball rolling. This was in 2012.
And you even pivoted in the application process.
Right. As I was doing it, you know, I was writing it and thought it would be great if there was a tool that made it easy to produce live blogs. And that was when the light bulb went off in my head. And that's what I applied with. That's the idea I had. I was fortunate to get the fellowship. We sold our house and moved across the country to Stanford, Silicon Valley, and that's when a new chapter in my life started.
And your wife didn't say, oh my gosh, you're crazy. She actually went along with you doing this completely different thing, moving across the country, taking your little kids. Wouldn't it be a great time to talk about relationships?
Nobody wants to talk about relationships. Remember that whole time about knowing when to quit? I think we've hit that point.
But that would be a pivot.
Well, she didn't call me crazy about that. It took a few months.
We're not talking about relationships. Remember, we're talking about pivoting. So pivoting back, one of the things, too, that we can look at here when you talk about pivoting is now you're also managing editor for Truthdig, which is a political news website. And you talk about coming from sports and pivoting over to politics. And I think in a lot of times when people are looking at pivoting, they probably aren't fully changing everything in their life. For, you know, example, they aren't looking at going from one career to launching a startup. Sometimes pivots within the same field. What's that been like?
That's been great. I'm a big believer that you have to step outside your comfort zone. People can get very comfortable. And I think to grow, you have to get outside the comfort zone. And sometimes you have to force yourself to do that. You know, my whole career in journalism was covering sports prior to this, but it's been a lot of fun because there's a lot of similarities between sports and politics.
You got a lot of people that go really, really crazy.
And we're seeing that this year, and it's going to get more heated and interesting as we get closer to November.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of similarities, too, in that both sports and politics tend to be a lot personality-driven. And like Maria said, people are very heated about it, but also you have a lot of people who are very much in the public eye, trying to shape a narrative, trying to tell their own story, and you're trying to tell a true story.
It's all about who controls the narrative, and whoever controls the narrative is the story that gets told. And a lot of people right now, that's one reason we started Every Bit, because a lot of people have a lot of stories to tell, but those stories aren't being told by the media, and we wanted to empower people and give people control to be able to tell those stories.
And for people that have no idea what Every Bit is, what's the 10-second summary for what Every Bit is, what it does?
It's an app for iPhones that lets you tell stories with photos, videos, audio. Makes it very easy and fast.
I had a thought, and you could tell me if it's crazy and I won't be, well, terribly offended, but When I look at every bit, it kind of reminds me of when blogging first started. I remember when iMovie first came out, and both of those were supposed to be for professionals. iMovie replaced really expensive studios, and so indie studios were going to be able to develop films. And yet now you see moms out there, dads out there with their camera recording graduation, soccer games. Do you think that maybe every bit could turn into that, where it was start out for professional journalists, but now it's going to be, you know, me putting together a whole graduation story with video and sound and text and pictures on my iPhone so grandma back in Florida can see it? Because everybody's grandma's in Florida, right?
Shout out to Florida. If you haven't seen my video blog on it, we'll link to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, nowadays anyone can tell a story, and we've created a tool that makes it easy for anyone to tell those stories. And it can be, you know, as simple as, you know, a graduation ceremony, whichever, you know, which many people have, you know, birthdays, births, you know, that's something that we covered.
Yeah, kind of when you're going to every bit of birth, maybe you should check with your wife too before you start doing it, as opposed to in the delivery room and then have her shooting you dirty looks. Not that I'd be speaking from personal experience or anything.
That could go in our podcast of relationships.
Well, I did check with her, and she said no, but I had to make the decision that this is going to be good, and she's going to realize that she's going to appreciate it. She still hasn't, but I know that day is coming soon.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7generationgames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, generationgames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7generationgames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help the much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.